He's blunt, but he's fair. This is Drew Berquist, former counterterrorism officer, realist, and host of This Is My Show, which starts now. Powered by Red Beach Nation. Whether you live at the beach, are going to one, or just want to imagine yourself there, RedBeachNation.com has comfy patriotic apparel for the occasion.
All right, they sure do. Tuesday, here we go, folks. Drew Berquist, This Is My Show. Glad to be with you. Hey, Missy. Hey, Mike. Jill, so many others coming in. June, good to see you. Bravo. Of course, you too as well. Brother, hoping for a cough-free episode today. We'll see. I do have a mute button for that very reason. I've also got a cough drop in, so I apologize if you hear that noise, but trying to do that. And we've got a contributing producer who says words every once in a while, if needed. Hey, Disco, how are you?
I'm doing good. And yes, I can say words if needed.
Yes, you can. They're not always good words, but neither are mine. No, so it's, it just is what it is. Words are words. Words are words. God bless you too, George.
Sometimes they're hard.
They are hard. I mean, just look at Joe Biden and pretty much all of his friends try and speak. But let's start here. So, huge sports fan. You guys know that if you're listeners of the show. We don't get into it a lot, but you know that about me. And particularly one of the teams that have struggled most of my life. You know, I've supported the Vikings. All Minnesota sports teams just typically aren't great. We've had some good points, but I get not having things go well. So I'm thrilled for the people in Athens, Georgia today who haven't been national champions since 1980, 41 years, got that monkey off their back with a win over Alabama last night, which was really a great game almost the entire time. But they got to raise the trophy up. I think we got some footage of that. But they got the victory in the end. It was a good day for Kirby Smart and the team. And it was a really cool story too, with Stetson Bennett, who was a walk-on quarterback, who was really fun to watch. I think it just was a fun night. I'm happy for those guys. And college football is one of the great sports institutions left. So congrats to all the Dogs fans out there who definitely have a little bit of extra kick in their step today, no doubt, or at least they should. Maybe they don't because they were out partying, but in their head, they're happy. Their heart, they're happy. So good for them. I was pleased to see it. And then also, real quick, before we get started here, Joe Biden will be in Georgia today to give a speech on voting rights, voting laws, all of that stuff.
Oh, boy.
Where did you say something?
I said, oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Yeah, exactly. So I'm anxious to hear what he tries to say. I know he won't execute it. There's no doubt going to be lies about how racist voter ID is. He's going to tell stories about his experiences with Black people that weren't true, but will make him sound even more like the racist he's always been. So we'll see some of those things come out of it, no doubt. But the headline here, and it's part of our title, if I remember correctly today, is that Stacey Abrams, someone who never should have been a thing, by the way. I know I pick on her a lot, Brian Stelter, her, several others. They're not worth it to me, but the Democrats have for some reason made her a thing. And she said that she's not going to attend the event, just not going to happen. And it turns out it's probably because I got papers blown in the wind here, but it turns out probably because there's like an all you can eat buffet or something at the same time. It's just something that she's got to go do. You can't turn that down. It's not necessarily political, but people are saying that this is a snub. People are saying that this shows a damning sign for Joe Biden, that Stacey, one of their favorite people, is not going to show up there and be there for the speech. To which I would say, guys, if you're watching, you see Stacey Abrams. If you're not, then God bless you. You're lucky. You don't have to look at her on the screen. But I'd say if we're needing a response from Stacey Abrams at this point on Joe Biden's performance and kind of the prospects of his future, then we're worse off than I thought we were. Because who cares what this person says? Who cares at all? Absolutely ridiculous. All right. Hopefully she enjoys her meal. Hopefully we'll have some good sound bites to give you from Joe's talk tomorrow. We'll get to all that. Several more stories to get to today, including a second day in a row. If you were here yesterday, you know what I'm talking about. If you weren't, you don't. Where there's going to be a That Shit's Crazy segment. And I told you yesterday because I saw this story right before the show yesterday. We didn't have time to get it in and we had plenty to talk about as it was. But we'll finish with one of those and booze and banter where we get to your comments and questions. But real quick, wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening, please hit that like button. If you're a podcast listener, please give us a great review on there. We'd be so honored. I know it takes an extra minute or two, but You can say something, not say something, hit the star button, whatever you got to do, but please do it. It goes a long way. It really, really does. And then please go over to drewberquist.com, and subscribe to the newsletter. This next segment is brought to you by the Root Brands. A lot of you guys have seen Dr. Christina Rahm on the show several times. You've heard her amazing story, her amazing background, working for all the big pharma companies, Pfizer, Moderna, all those. And you've heard about her life-changing products, whether you got the vaccine and regret it, just want those heavy metals and toxins that are in your system, no doubt, removed from your bloodstream. Whether you didn't get the shot, but still want to detox and get those different types of toxins out of your body. All good ideas, by the way. Root has the solution with Clean Slate, Restore, several other products. You can do amazing things for yourself and your body and remove all those unwanted toxins. So go check it out. It's therootbrands.com/Drew Berquist. You can see it on the screen. You can also see the link in the show notes. So please check that out, guys. There's some amazing stuff on there. There's certain kits and packages that it'll take you to. You don't have to do those. You can say, hey, I just want to try this product. Just go find it, put it in the cart. Make sure that you go in through using the rootbrands.com/Drew Berquist, and it'll go towards helping the show and getting you the products that you need. Okay, let's talk CNN for a minute. And I know a lot of you probably just sighed like, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to either. I don't like talking about CNN, but we'll do it because there's some stuff going on there. And regardless of your age, we've got a wide demographic with our audience. We're all old enough to remember when anything that we said really at all about COVID, particularly the data that we discussed yesterday on the show, if you didn't see it, go back and listen to it. But anything that we talked about pertaining to said data was considered conspiracy. You were a loon for saying it, despite it literally being the data that the CDC and our other government institutions have put out for us. They just won't talk about it in the right way. Well, now you've got some folks at CNN who are either waking up or starting to back down their support of this craziness by saying that people in the hospital, again, this is what we talked about yesterday, but people in the hospital for something else who happen to have or get COVID should now count as hospitalizations. This was actually Jake Tapper talking about it. Take a listen.
So the hospitals are still stretched thin because of this, so I'm not trying to take away from that. But if 40% in some hospitals, 40% of the people who have COVID don't necessarily have problematic COVID. They're there because they got in a car accident. They're there because, they bumped their head. And they're being included as in the hospital with COVID. That number seems kind of misleading.
Yeah, I agree, Jake. It surprises me that they have not been able to parse out that data more carefully. I think the data that Dr. Olensky is quoting is from New York State, and we've been following that data as well. And I can show you what we've seen, sort of tracks with what she said. But out of all the patients that are in the hospital, about 57%, these are COVID patients, admitted because of or complications from COVID, 43% admitted for other reasons and then diagnosed with COVID. I think, there needs to be transparency about that in terms of for or with COVID. The only thing I will tell you, Jake, again, working in the hospital, is that at the time someone is then diagnosed with COVID, even if they didn't come in for that reason, it does take up a lot of resources then in terms of infection protocols, personal protective equipment, more testing, all that kind of stuff. So even though that may not have been the initial impetus to bring them in the hospital, it just requires a lot of energy and resources on behalf of the hospital staff and the testing and all that sort of stuff. So we need to get better about being able to see this data. New York State, I think, is one of the few states that's presenting it that way for or with COVID, but other states should follow suit. The American Health Association says they have a hard time sort of separating out that data, but clearly New York State's been able to do it. Other states should do it as well.
Yeah, we're 2 years into this, and we need the clearest picture possible. If somebody's in the hospital with a broken leg and they also have asymptomatic COVID, that should not be counted as hospitalized with COVID, clearly.
All right. So, yeah, obviously. No shit, Jake Tapper. That's what we've been freaking saying for 2 years, and I've gotten in trouble for it every time. And look, maybe he wants a clear conscience on this, since his producers were caught being sexual deviants and pedophiles. Maybe he's trying to just clean up his own brand, his own show, all of that stuff. Maybe he's really seeing that we were right the whole time. I don't know. maybe we never will, but don't miss the fact that he's not saying a few key words here. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I've gone after you, conservatives, Republicans, people on the left as well, who had questions, not necessarily an assault on their ideas or their narratives the whole time, but literally sometimes just had questions. Well, what about this? What about that? No, you can't say that. You can't ask that. You can't go against the narrative. And now they're starting to come out and you're seeing this information that says, hey, you guys were right the whole time. So right. But he's not saying that. He's not saying sorry. And because, look, they did their damage. CNN, Jake Tapper, Don Lemon, Chris Cuomo when he still had a job, you name it, fill in the blank, Rachel Maddow over on MSNBC, they all did their job. They slandered people with their microphone and their camera. YouTube, Facebook went after people like us, ruined companies. Now, we're still here, but it's not been easy. So they've done all of this, and they will slowly start to change their narrative, but the damage, again, has been done. And that's what's so concerning and frustrating to hear them say what's so obvious. So freaking obvious, Jake Tapper. But that's not all on the CNN front. I want to touch on this because I saw this article come through last night. I never read anything from CNN, or it's pretty rare, unless I'm looking for something like we're about to talk about right here. And while Jake Tapper said something intelligent for once, good for him, the network went after Fox News' Jesse Waters and the network itself in this new article. And listen to the tone, by the way, in this article. And we can just slap up, I think we've got some footage of him, but listen to the tone of this article. I'll read some of the parts here. This is the opening paragraph. Actually, I think the first two or three paragraphs here. Jesse Waters, the right-wing talk show host who throughout his career has courted controversy with incendiary commentary, will be Fox's new 7 p.m. host, the network announced on Monday. The installment of the flamethrower Waters into key time slots cements a strategy Fox initiated soon after President Donald Trump lost re-election. More right-wing commentary, less news. So first of all, hold up. If you guys think that you're doing the news, there's something extremely wrong with that optic and your view on things. But also, have you been paying attention to Fox News, who looks more and more like you guys all the time? But they continue on here. Before Trump's loss, the 7 p.m. hour is occupied by a conservative newscast hosted by Martha McCallum. But in the wake of Trump's loss, defeat, they said, when its viewers did not want to hear the truth about election results. So there's a zing there. Fox started losing ratings ground to some of its right-wing competitors on cable and felt audience pressure to change its programming. The channel's leadership responded by moving McCallum to the 3 p.m. time slot and replacing the 7 p.m. hour with a cast of rotating hosts who served up right-wing punditry viewers craved. And I'll say this, look, they're not totally wrong. Whoever wrote this angry person probably with green hair who wrote this article on the other side of the keyboard is not necessarily wrong with that last part. Look, networks are going to do what they need to do to fill a time slot and address the ratings so they can get more viewers, so they can get more ad money, so they can get all those things working, right? So, and I think that they were smart. Fox News was smart in this sense. They're going to sell more ads. They're going to get viewers because people like him. And they did a great job there. But they also threw in this little snipe too. The new 7 p.m. show will be named Jesse Waters Primetime, even though primetime is traditionally considered to begin at 8 p.m. So you're not really primetime, Jesse, they're saying, but they're calling it that. And then they continued because they can't help themselves. The promotion for Waters comes less than a month after he drew significant controversy for using violent language at a conservative conference, encouraging attendees to conduct ambush interviews with Dr. Anthony Fauci. All right, so there's that cough back. I apologize. But this is something that we discussed, proved completely wrong, what they're saying about him talking about Fauci. The interpretation that they took obviously sounded violent, but that was totally proven wrong. Totally. They didn't like it. They don't like Waters, clearly. They don't like Fox News, clearly. But man, I'm telling you, it's ridiculous. But imagine this. Imagine reading that article as a sheep, as someone who's just willing to go along with whatever. someone who doesn't get the world around them. And that's the problem, because there's a lot of those people should get sponsored by cough drops. But if you just read that article, I mean, hearing what I just said there, Disco, if you were listening, hearing what I just said and the tone that they took and the way that they say it, matter of fact, and if you're a regular CNN, you know, viewer, reader, what have you, if you hear those comments, you're going to be like, oh, well, this guy sounds like a douche, and it sounds like Fox made the wrong move, and it sounds like Fox is really going in a bad direction, again, despite the fact that Fox is leaning more and more and looking more and more like CNN by the day.
No, well, no, of course, and you can say anything you want in an article about someone on a different channel to sway viewers to not go there. That's what they're doing there, essentially. They're saying, hey, don't go watch this. Yes, it's new, but don't do it. And without saying those things, because, yeah, now they make him sound like he's, you know, a borderline terrorist, which he's not, you know? He's just speaking the truth, you know?
Right, right.
So it's not a, it's not, you know, it to me, it's at what point could Fox or even Waters go in and say, hey, this is slander, you know, this is, you're defacing my name, you know, what's, you know, it's hard.
It is hard. Well, it's just, it's the world we live in. It's ridiculous. And lots of great comments. I got some messages yesterday about my cough, some great suggestions. I've tried some of them. I don't have all the stuff yet in the studio, so I'll keep doing it. Maybe I have COVID again. joked one person, who knows? Have some more gin, says Raven. I will. I'm good at that part. So cough drops and gin, it goes a long way. But all that to say, CNN says something smart, and then they've got this article comes out that's just nasty and just is not helpful and shows who they really are. And I don't know Jesse. I know a lot of people with Fox. I don't personally know Jesse Waters, but I do like him from what I hear. And I know people who know him who like him. So big congratulations to him. I'm thrilled for him. I think Fox did make a good move, and I think that show is going to do well. But we also need to touch on this. It's in the episode title as well. You know, if you know, I start throwing my notes together. I'll start throwing notes together for tomorrow's show today after the show. And then I'll do more in the morning. And all that to say, I end up adding a bunch of different stuff, and I got to make sure I at least touch on the stuff that me and the team get thrown out there in the title and the episode card and all that. So we're going to do it. And yet another disastrous move. The Biden administration announced that the U.S. is going to be giving more aid to Afghanistan through USAID, the organization. And let me read this. We can pop it up on the screen. It might be too small for you. But it says this: the United States is announcing a new contribution of more than $308 million in humanitarian assistance for the people of Afghanistan. This brings total U.S. humanitarian aid in Afghanistan and for Afghan refugees in the region to nearly $782 million since October of 2021. For your time reference there, that's sent, you know, the awful pullout was in August. So $782 million since then. And we remain the single largest donor of humanitarian aid in Afghanistan. In addition, the United States is providing the people of Afghanistan 1 million additional COVID-19 vaccine doses through COVAX, bringing our total to $4.3 million doses, excuse me. The new humanitarian assistance by the United States Agency for International Development, USAID, will directly flow through independent humanitarian organizations and help provide life-saving protection and shelter, essential health care, winterization assistance, emergency food, aid, water, sanitation, and hygiene services in response to growing humanitarian needs exacerbated by COVID-19 and healthcare shortages, drought, malnutrition in the winter season. The United States is committed to supporting the Afghan people, and we continue to consider all options available to us. We stand with the people of Afghanistan. All right. So sounds right. Sounds about how our administration would approach this. Throw money at it. Say we're doing the right thing. But guys, look, I live with an Afghan who we just rescued from Kabul, which I don't say for praise. I'm not saying that at all. But I say for people to understand the reality that I talk to him on a daily basis. He talks to his living family members on a daily basis, former colleagues on a daily basis. I hear some of those conversations. I don't understand all those conversations, but then I get debriefed on those conversations. And then I spent most of my adult life in that country. I know that country almost as well as I know ours. Parts of it I probably know better. So trust me when I say this, that citizens are not able to work. They have little to no income. In most cases, power has been off more than it traditionally has been, which is saying something. You've got former partners in the intel service, military, law enforcement, who are being killed by the dozens. And I say the dozens, I'm talking about per day. I mean, we've had hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds killed. We've got women who can't go to work unless you're a doctor or a like upper level teacher. You can't go back to work. Young kids, young girls in particular, can't go to school unless it's private. Women being oppressed. So it's an awful situation. And yet the Biden administration, who again, let us remember, created this whole situation by not understanding how the Taliban work, not understanding how Afghanistan works, got us here. He now thinks that by us pumping money into that country, an additional $308 million, which takes us to $782 million since October, is going to actually help the people and help the country. It's going to make him feel better about himself. Guys, no. And we're not, I'm not talking about like, I don't think it's going to all go to the people kind of a situation. We're talking about like not even 50% of it's going to go to the people. We're talking about a much smaller number. We're talking about likely zero of it going to the people there. It's going to go nowhere, Joe. You don't understand how these groups work and how the groups that are independent on the ground there are going to, they're just going to get it and magically find a way to get it to all the people. No, the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, they all those people, Pakistan, China, Iran, those are the people who control how things are done there, not these groups. So they're going to see nothing. The Afghan people are going to continue to struggle. The country is going to continue to be a violent shithole that eventually bites us and others. It's absolutely ridiculous that they think this could work. Now, look, not by Joe, but by others. Could it be good intentioned? Sure. And I hope it is. But it's not going to work. There's very, very definite needs that exist there. But this country is so complicated. And if you don't know it, and you don't know it, not just know it a little bit, if you don't know it well, you really can't wade into those waters, because you're not going to, you just don't know how it's going to work. And this is not going to work. It's absolutely insane to throw $782 million to a country that we gave up and abandoned and let these groups run wild with it. Crazy.
Well, I mean, we've already given them the guns and the vehicles and all that other stuff. So why not throw money their way now too?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's you know, last week when we were there and I got to talk with Shafi and just, you know, the questions I was asking, the stuff that they don't talk about, that no one knows about, that they should know about, and how the country's ran and what's going on and how people are living in fear because of who's in power. It's sad.
Well, I can tell you this too, or I'll ask you this. Because I know my audience hears me talk about it a lot. Obviously, it's something that I'm passionate about. You've heard me talk about it a lot, obviously, as an active member of the show. But I think a lot of people tend to have the mindset, and America does in general too, of just moving on. But when you sit, and you had the opportunity to sit and talk with Shafi firsthand and hear it not from me, but you know, look in his eyes, hear it from his heart, and kind of see what's going on there, I think it's got to, I mean, again, I've got a different view because I was there, but like for someone like yourself, it's got to be, you know, somewhat, I don't want to say life-changing, but like certainly very eye-opening to hear what it's like.
Well, it's very eye-opening, you know, and like I you know, I was telling Shafi, you know, when everything was happening and you were keeping me, what was going on, like I told my wife, I'm ready to go. Like I'd never felt more empowered to go overseas and do something to help people, because this wasn't about what country you stood for, what religion you do, what you believe in, or, you know, doesn't matter. This was about people, and people are being hurt and people are being violated and killed, and, you know, sex trafficking, you name it, it's all there. It's all happening there, and it's frustrating. Like, we need to do more than just send money. We need to go there and act and get in the way of the people that are doing the bad stuff. And it was eye opening, and I didn't sleep that night because I was just up all night trying to get frustration out of my head, because it was so if only we could do more, you know. And it just so it was very eye opening, and it was I can't wait till we can get him on the show more and have him open up on stuff that, you know, we were allowed to talk about and everything. Cause I think it would be eye opening for everybody.
Yeah, definitely. Well, hoping to do some fun stuff with him in the future. Bravo says me and my Afghan. I say that a lot. I joke all the time actually about it. He of course knows I'm joking. He knows that I've given everything for him and he would give everything for me. And we're like brothers and like family, and he's a part of our family now. And we love it, but I do joke. So for those of you who are here, and if you ever hear me say me and my Afghan or this, he's not my slave. He's my friend. He's a family member. We treat him like gold, and he treats us like gold, and it's a great symbiotic relationship. But I will say Leah, that every once in a while.
Leah, remember last week you and I were talking about changing this all to reality show. She's got a great title for it, and it's I Live with an Afghan.
I like it, Leah. I like it. Leah's always got good shirt ideas. She's got good show name ideas. Again, there's some fun stuff we want to do, and I've been wanting to do to incorporate Shafi in more. We just got to get there. It's just hard at the pace that we're running and as many other things that are going, but we'll definitely get there. There'll definitely be a lot more of him. Anyways, let's carry on with the show here. Joe's stupid. USAID money not going to work in Afghanistan. Our country apparently stupid for thinking it's going to. But that doesn't surprise any of us. But before we get to these next stories, Booze and Banter, we've got some This Shit's Crazy. We've got Booze and Banter, which is about you. So start getting your questions ready. Start coming up with ideas and send it in. This next segment is brought to you by MyPillow, who offers the best pillows, sheets, mattress toppers, slippers, towels, blankets, so much more. They've got dog beds. You guys have heard me talk about it a lot. They are one of our best partners. They do a ton for the show. They also do a ton for this country. Love the Constitution, the American values that we all know, love, and hold so dear. So the good news is you can save up to 66% by going to MyPillow.com using promo code Drew. Everyone wins. You get a great night's sleep. You get great products. We support American company. It's a good deal. Again, it's MyPillow.com. Use promo code Drew to save up to 66%. All right. Like I said yesterday, we're not going to do all of these different segments all the time. It just so happens that we're doing 2 days in a row today. Who knows? Maybe we'll do it 3 days in a row. I don't have plans for that, but we probably could, as crazy as this world is, but we've got to touch on this because this next story, and actually again, it's two, is it's crazy.
Sometimes the world gives us run-of-the-mill stories and you're like, yeah, I heard that. We got politics, the international news, stories about your grandma's peach cobbler, but then sometimes stories are a little bit out there, like this one. This shit's great.
All right, so you may have seen this on social media. If you're on there trolling around on it all the time, you likely have, but there was quite a little bit of excitement in Los Angeles a couple days ago, back on the 9th. Look at this scene. There was an individual trapped in his plane, private plane, which he had just crashed on railroad tracks that, yes, you guessed it, had a train speeding toward it as law enforcement tried to get him free. Take a look.
Yeah, just so you know, the first half of this, the audio's not there, and you'll hear it pop in here in a second. It's just how the clip came from the body cam. Not sure
Sounds
why,
good.
But yeah.
So, here it comes. Yeah, for you audio listeners, podcast listeners, they just drug him out. And a train just rammed right through the friggin' plane. I mean, we're talking split seconds. And this guy and the law enforcement officers potentially who are helping him are goners. So well, you know what? There's another angle of it. Let's do that, and then we can talk about it. Slowed it down. So I look, first off, holy shit, that's crazy. Imagine living to tell that story around the campfire. That's going to be a good one his grandkids will love. Second of all, kudos to our law enforcement. Hell of a job. You know, anyone that's been peddling this defund the police garbage over the last year or two in particular. Well, I hope that when your plane crashes, you probably, if you're on the defund the police movement, you're like a liberal crunchy, you probably could never afford a plane. So you won't be in this situation. But were you to be in this situation, I hope when your plane crashes on train tracks that no one comes to save you, because you're an idiot for thinking that we should defund, take away resources, take away personnel from law enforcement departments across the country. Our law enforcement never, and you can speak to Ray, who's here in the chat today and has been on the show several times. Our law enforcement never gets enough respect, ever. They never get paid enough. And they do amazing work in communities across the country. Fire people were there too, first responders, so props to all of them. Props to all of our first responders. But Disco, what say you?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, more footage like this needs to come out, because the only footage we see in the news is the ones where, you know, things have gone wrong or someone did something wrong or whatever it is. Here it is, these three, four, they looked like those four or five officers there trying to get this guy out, sacrificing their own lives. They have family, they have kids, they have wives. You know, and they're doing their job, putting their life on the line. And I have friends who are firefighters. They run into buildings on fire every single day, and they don't get the kudos. They don't get the accolades that they were, you know. Yes, they may get, at, you know, those officers may get an award ceremony for an act of valor, you know, whatever they're going to call it. But it's barely going to hit the news. Watch, it's going to be a drop in the bucket. They're going to run the article on Friday night or Saturday when no one's watching the news because they're out doing their thing. And so it's not, because it doesn't fit their narrative, you're not going to see it. And it's sad. And I wish if there's anyone in there that knows them, like, let's get them on the show. Let's see if we can get one of those cops on the show and talk with them and thank them for their service, because it just would be great to get them out there. But they're not going to get out there. You know, it's unfortunate.
Yeah, they won't. Well, and this one in particular, I mean, like, look, there's a million videos and clips and snippets and whatnot that you could put out there supporting law enforcement, showing how awesome they are. That's why I was so pissed when Live PD got taken off the air, which I'm not going to go on that rant again. But, you know, it showed how good and decent these people are. And we lost kind of that big voice for them. But finding a clip like this, I mean, that's just crazy. Like, that's like out of a movie, which I'm not saying that more crazy scenes don't happen. They, of course, do. But like, that is a very specific crazy one, but they did some awesome work and put their lives on the line. So kudos to them, and I'm glad that everyone made it out okay. The plane, probably safe to say, is done. I don't think it's going to make it back. But
insurance will claim that as totaled. But Ting Ting's right. They only had seconds. The first time I saw that clip, whether it was last night or the night before when it came out, I'm saying, what am I watching right now? And also, they pull out the train, shing, comes flying through. Like, that was intense. That was so intense, but you could tell they stayed calm and collective, and they just did what they had to do to get him out. And I'm glad that the guy's doing better. You know, he made it, and not the other.
Well, speaking of make it, thanks for helping me segue into this next story, because this is also crazy in its own right, very different than the last one. But there was a guy, 57 years old, who was not eligible for a heart transplant. He was dealing with, or I guess deals with, terminal heart disease. So big thing. So he and the doctors did what any rational human would do. And they said, hey, you know what? Let's put a pig heart in you and just see what happens. Like a heart from a pig in a human. And you know what? It worked. Damn, it worked, or at least so far. At least so far it did. Here's the report. I'll read part of it. There's some pictures that they shared, the University of Maryland shared. It's a first-of-a-kind surgery. He received a successful transplant of a genetically modified pig heart and is still doing well several days later. It's the only current available option for the patient. The historic surgery was conducted by University of Maryland School of Medicine. The organ transplant demonstrated for the first time that a genetically modified animal heart can function like a human heart without immediate rejection by the body. The patient, David Bennett, who was a Maryland resident, being carefully monitored over the next days and weeks to determine whether it will provide life-saving benefits. There's probably a lot of ways we could go with this story. First of all, it's cool. It's awesome and good for David Bennett that his pig heart is working. I was surprised to see this. And I have a lot of questions. Like, I know this is not, like, I'm a simple person, and you trolls out there are like, yeah, you're simple, you're stupid. All right, have fun. I hear that one all the time. Like, do you slowly become a pig over time? Like, does any pigness become like a part of you? Like,
it's not like his brain.
Well, I know, but like I just think of like the young movies, like you know, like a Willy Wonka or something like that, where you're starting to turn a different, like what was her name? Violet starts to turn. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen. And if he does, and hopefully he lives a long life, like, do we get to eat him then? Is cannibalism okay? Like, because he's part pig, like there's bacon, there's ham, there's pork. I don't know. I have lots of questions. But I don't think any of those things are going to happen. I don't actually condone cannibalism. And in all seriousness, if this works and you can just pick up a heart from an animal, genetically modify it, whatever that means, however you do it, then go forward. Go forward. All right. Let's get ready for booze and banter. Send your questions in if you haven't. We'll get that. Will he reject bacon? I love it. No, he bet anyone who rejects bacon should be put on a terrorist, like, no-fly list. That's just the truth. Jill says, no, we shouldn't eat him. Okay. So I don't think, and I tend to trust Jill. So I guess we're not going to eat you, David. Congrats. Your heart works and we're not going to eat you. This is a really big week for him. All right, let's get to booze and banter. Send your questions in. All right, it's that time of show where we end on your comments, your questions, so fire them in. I know I've got several coming. One that I just saw was from Christine, I believe from Arkansas, who said, how do I get Drew's attention? Someone said, give him a super chat. Great suggestion, Mini Trout, although it's not required. So if you've got a question, Christine, we'll try and keep an eye out for it. As long as it's a reasonable one, we'll try and get to it. But do that. Ting Ting, glad to see you. Thanks for commenting on my behalf there. You get a shout out a lot, and I'm glad that you're here. So we'll start with Whiskey. You've got one over on Rumble that says, how intimidated do you think the Russians are by our lead Ukraine negotiator in Geneva, Wendy Sherman? So look, you can look at this a lot of ways. And I think anytime you send a State Department type person to negotiate in this half, with the rare exception of some people like Mike Pompeo, who's a stud and who's really not a state guy, he just was working at state, but someone who's going to be tough. Putin, I say it all the time, Putin is laughing his way to bed every night. Like, I can't believe what a good situation we have here with Biden and his appointees in DC being absolutely weak and so manipulatable and so unwilling to do what it takes to protect and defend this country. So I guarantee you they're not intimidated. That's not a word that comes. First of all, I don't think it's a word that goes into Putin's head in the first place a whole lot, regardless of who the person is on the other side, but certainly not Wendy Sherman, you know, who's Deputy Secretary of State, who the left loves and think is going to be a great answer for this. But I can just tell you, look, Putin plays the game differently. He's got a set of balls on him like nobody's business. So I think, look, I don't think intimidating is the word. I don't think it's going to go the way that she thinks it's going to. Maybe we get some concessions. Maybe things go better than I think. But I guarantee you, Putin's not going to lose over the next 4 years, at least not in a big way. They're more intimidated by a fart, says Bravo. All right, there we go. All right, we've got Christine's question. Let's pop it up here, Disco. I was wondering if we could take out China government with a bomb. That's very forward. It's a big government. It's not that easy. They definitely are enemy. I get your point. Thanks for the question. Thanks for being here and listening. Look, it's not that easy. And the last thing that we want right now as a country, particularly under this leadership, is a war with another power like China or Russia. Are we more strong? Yes. But would they be together on this? Likely so. And we've got a military right now who, God bless our troops. God bless the people that are serving now, have served before, the people that are interested in serving. But the Navy just added 2 more weeks of boot camp to talk about social issues and extremism and stuff like that. We're not in a spot where we want to be fighting other wars under this leadership, and we certainly don't want to fight them. We need to push back against them and say, look, we are the bee's knees. We are the land of unicorns and bald eagles, and we will kick your ass if you cross this line, and then keep them in check. This administration is not going to do it because China's got their hands so far up Joe and Hunter's ass that it's just not going to happen. But going after them in an all-out assault like that is also not the best option. It's not what we want right now, and certainly with this particular administration. So again, I appreciate the question. I get the sentiment. It would be tough from a
So is the 2 extra weeks in the Navy and boot camp like the equivalent to Starbucks's manual that came out a few years ago for
yes.
Yeah, addressing situations. Yes, okay.
It really is. It's all about yeah. Again, we talked about it yesterday. We were talking about it with the you know, whoever they are pretending to be the Patriot Front, like
yeah.
We don't really have this. It's like all this COVID stuff. It's like the election stuff. It's like any of the issues that we've talked about, frankly, for the last 2 years since the election in particular. We don't have these problems that we're talking about, like that we're forced to talk about, because they'll say we've got a domestic extremist problem. Nope, no, we don't. We've got a massive racist problem. No, we don't. Are there racists? Yes. Are there domestic extremists? Yes. Are they in the majority? No. It's so fractional that it's laughable that we're even talking about it. And to have the Pentagon go after and say, hey, we're going to root out extremism. There's over 2 million people serving in active duty and reserves. And even the Pentagon themselves said, we can document at least 100 instances where we think someone was an extremist. 100 out of 2 million plus, and it probably is a lower number than that. No, we don't have a problem with that. We need our military to kill people and keep the homeland safe. That's their job. If you're there for a different reason, you suck, get out, and I hope that you don't get any of the benefits. That's the way it's got to go. All right, I saw a question come through here. I'll try and pop it up. Leah said, do you think we should participate in the Summer Olympics in China in light of the whole COVID thing? I hope I said that right.
Nice thing. That was a good thing.
Bang. Yeah. again, I don't know if it was you and I, Leah, or other people that have kind of talked about this. I'm very torn on this. I think China should be punished. I think Fauci should have a pineapple shoved up his ass every day at noon. I think there's lots of things that should happen that aren't happening. I think we should bring Running Man back, the movie, but make it a real life thing. None of those things are going to happen. But I say
at
all that
Fauci would know it's coming every day at noon.
Well, exactly. And having a schedule is important. You know, it's exactly. It's definitely important. But I think the tough thing I have with that, like my gut says, screw that. We're not going to do it. But the other part of me says it's kind of like people who get mad at the NFL or get mad at this or get mad at any sport for that matter. And I tend to take the defense of the players a lot, not the ones who are douchebags, but the ones who are just good people, good Christian Americans who, and if they're not Christian, that's fine too, but people who love this country, love our rules, and in the case of the Olympics, have trained their whole life to get to this point and then may have it taken away from them because of stupid politicians, both in our country and their country, because of evil people, both in our country and in their country and all of that. So I go back and forth on it. I know it's not really a solid answer, but I don't have one because I believe the athletes who have worked their ass off to get to this point. And that window is small. You know, there's not people who, you know, sometimes that 4-year window is enough to the point where you can't keep up with that next young group coming up and their times or whatever sport you're talking about. So I feel for them. And it's stupid that we're here. It's stupid that we're having to even have that conversation. But that's kind of where I am. I kind of tend to feel bad for the athletes.
It's so and it's hard too because you know I have a lot of friends that work the broadcast of it, and they say the one thing that's never talked about, even on the American broadcast, is how they are always implementing like talk with other people from other countries, build relationships, and all this stuff, and. When our leaders can't even do that, that's the hard part. But they're trying to do it from like the lower level with these athletes and everyone that's there and try to be, you know, try to become one because that's what we're here for. We're all here to just, you know, do our best at what we trained for our whole lives. There's no politics involved, but you never see that aired. You never hear that talked about. And it's kind of discouraging, you know, even from our standpoint, you'd think the USA would want to try to talk about that to mend things or whatever, but you never see any, you know, see anyone talk about it on any broadcast that comes out. It's sad.
It is sad. I hate sadness. All right. Ronald Klein Smith over on Facebook says, do you think we will have another civil war here in the US? So we talk about this a lot, excuse me, on the show, Ronald. I'm not saying that like, listen closer. I'm saying like, it's a great question. I don't see any way that this country can ever unite again. And I don't see any reason why we shouldn't balkanize and split up and have some form of a divorce. And when I say divorce, like we still get most of it because we just hate each other. So I would hope to not have a civil war, even though I know we would dominate, just because I've seen war and it's violent and it's destructive and it takes a long time to recover from it in terms of, you know, homes and infrastructure and all that, but also, you know, personally and emotionally for people, it's gonna do a lot of things we don't want to do. But I do think that a split of some sort is unfortunately not preventable at this point. I mean, like when you think of how much the other side hates you, me, anyone here, and how we just are stuck at this point. I don't see how it ends well. Again, does it get to civil war? TBD, I hope not. But it's certainly a possibility. We've never talked about it more in our lifetime. They don't really even talk about it much in school anymore, but it's certainly a closer possibility than it should be. The question becomes, can we kind of split and do this the right way without getting to that point? Or does it tip over the edge and get there? I think, you know, agreeing with what Barron says, you know, we basically are in a cold civil war. If you think that we're not fighting with the other side, we 100% are. And there's people out there who are naive enough to think, oh, it's just going to blow over. No, dear, it's not going to blow over. We hate each other in this country. We're more tribal. We're just as tribal as people are in Afghanistan. I say that all the time. And those types of levels of hatred, how deep they go, they don't just go away. It does not happen. So either you split up and say, you get this, see you later. We're not going to celebrate the, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas together anymore. They probably won't anymore anyways, because they're going to be scared and don't want to be around other humans. But either we're going to do that or we're going to fight it out. And then we go from there. So I think it's too far gone. I think it's a sad state. It's just a matter of how it looks, and hopefully it doesn't involve an actual fighting war. But if you think we're not in a war without bullets now, you know, you're just wrong, which I'm not saying you are in this case, Ronald, but I think people are. Okay. Gail had a question earlier too. I'm going to try and find it again over on Facebook. China said that they'll be at the United States store very soon. Your thoughts on this, Drew? Well, first of all, they're here. People have got to understand, coming from, and I can't get into specifics, but a lot of this is open source stuff too, that these guys attack us cyber on the intel side, the corporate side, on a daily basis. They are so aggressive. So, I mean, that's happening all the time right now. So I think it's important to understand that. Will they be on our door in terms of like a military footprint, whether it's their Navy, whether it's some other thing? I don't know. I don't know if they have that. If they're going to do it, now's the time to do it, because we've got a leader who's feckless and doesn't even know where China is or if he's wearing pants right now. So like, if there's a time to do it, it's now. But I also think there's tough rhetoric to kind of see how this administration will respond. We definitely need, I can tell you this though, we definitely need someone stronger come 2024. And I don't care, I care greatly, in fact. It needs to be a conservative. By all accounts, it should be a conservative at this point. But if it was even someone like a Tulsi Gabbard, who served in the military, is Democrat, certainly on social issues, but cares about national security, I would be at least more comfortable, to the point where we can say, okay, we've got someone who will say, no, stand down, you attack us, and we will kill you all. But we don't have that right now. So they'd be like, no, someone send Xi Jinping a stern letter. He's got battleships off the coast of Florida. Like, it's just not going to work. So, but I also don't think we're quite there. I hope I'm right. Okay, let's see if we've got anything. So Wayne, look, Wayne on Rumble says, I was served a no trespassing notice from our local school board. How can I fight this? Wayne from Maine. I don't know what it was for. I am not a legal expert or scholar. I can't give legal advice on this show. I've got enough haters as it is. But I'll say this, if you're fighting against nonsense up there, kudos to you for pushing back as long as you're doing it within the confines of the law, which hopefully you are, and I'm sure you are. I don't know how to fight it other than to say, I guarantee you, as divided as we are, and particularly on the school board stuff and all the local, you know, city council type stuff, you can probably find someone who's willing to step in and help fight on the legal side, that's just as passionate as you are, but just happens to have that legal background. I wish I did. I don't. that's not one of my spots. They said I threatened them. I have video to prove I didn't. I'm trying to tell you what, send the, I'm going to put an email in here. And just because you have this email, guys, doesn't mean you can spam it or send us stuff all the time or that we'll use it. But producer at redbeachmedia.com, Wayne, you can fire the video and we'll take a look at it and see if it's something worth exploring a little bit further. Appreciate you being here on the show today. Appreciate you commenting and engaging. Lindy, hi. What's up to you and Whiskey and everyone else over there, by the way. Okay, Raven 6, where can I get a Commie Tears beer? Of course, that's a fictional beer that we use in our Booze and Banter bumper. You know, we're working on it. We're working on it. We actually aren't, but we're working on the idea of working on it. I would like to have it. There's a couple other drinks we want to get into. I'd love to get into that. It'd be freaking amazing.
I think we talk about it.
So if we do, you'll be the first to hear about it.
I think you and I talk about it at least twice a week.
Which alcohol should we make this week? What are we naming it? We kind of like just the idea of drinking it and coming up with logos and names more than actually the process. That's, I think, the problem.
Definitely
the problem.
Yeah. Someone else needs to do that. We're just going to creatively be there.
Exactly. Jill agrees with the sentiment that I said earlier that we don't need any wars going on with this administration. I don't trust this administration to have the best intentions for our country. Amen to that. Baron says our military is being completely purged of patriots. We're going to have the equivalent of East German Stasi. It's sadly going that direction fast. That's not to say that there aren't amazing people still in the military, which I know Baron's not saying either, but that is their goal. We can safely say that is the left's goal, and it's headed that way. Good to see you too, B/Bar over on Rumble. Glad you're here. Thanks so much. All right. Looking for some more comments. Disco, if you've seen, you can throw them up. We'll do maybe one or two more and then jump out of here for the day. June says, we are in deep shit. Yes, we kind of are.
There's one from earlier from Leah. I'm trying to find it. Might have disappeared on our end, but she was talking about how, like, because of what happened, and she asked about China and the Olympics, and she's like, they should have been denied to host. Well, you know, I think we talked about this last week. You know, the Olympic Committee that decides on where it's going next has no level or hierarchy in our government, you know? And so they picked China, you know, 10 years ago or whatever. And then they were building the infrastructure for it leading up to that. So backing out at this late of notice, like fully, like saying, hey, you can't host, is not up to the US government. Actually, it's up to the Olympic Committee. And they're not going to do that after everything that they've done to build up for that. They're not going to pull out. If anything, the US could say, we're not going. Which you've seen different countries do that at different times throughout the Olympics. They've pulled out because of they were at war with that country or something happened or whatever, and so they're not there. Their country's not represented. So,
speaking of pull out, we don't know for the record if Eric Swalwell did with Fang Fang. It's still being investigated. all right, so there is. Lots of good chatter going. Make all the alcohol, says Bravo. Leah, of course, has another shirt idea. Wayne from Maine. It's a good rhyme. And it is. So, you know, who knows? Wayne, when Red Beach Nation gets its refit here coming real soon, we'll consider it. Okay. Barron thinks that if we get attacked, it'll be an EMP attack on our electrical grid. China has that EMP weapon capabilities. They do, and that's certainly a possibility. It's just a matter. Look, when it comes to the China, there's a lot of conversation about China today and Russia, too, for that matter. When it comes to those two foes in conflict with them, it's who is really invested and willing in going to World War III status, because obviously it has a devastating effect on a lot of the things, you know, just destruction for one, casualties, loss of life, all that, economy, all of it. So who's willing to do that? And then who do people think is going to be on their side if and when that happens? Because you don't, you know, you don't, and I don't disagree at all. Like, if we get attacked, I think that's certainly a way that they're going to do it, is just give us chaos, try and make it, what, you know, seem like it wasn't them to start as we're figuring it out. But if you do something like that, it is war. I mean, look, maybe it's not with Joe Biden. Maybe he would send them a stern letter for that too, but it should be war at that point. And I think, you know, it's just a big ballsy move. Their leaders have big balls and they will make moves. I just don't know if we're quite there yet, but, but we'll see. Raven. Oh no, you didn't say that, Drew, with Fang Fang. Yeah. I love to bring them. Look, Swalwell, Stelter, Stacey Abrams. My list just keeps growing, actually. But there's a lot of people who just... I don't have anything positive to say.
You forgot Maxine Waters.
Maxine Waters.
Yeah.
She's dumb. She's so dumb. All right, guys. Listen, thanks so much for being here. Thanks for enduring our conversation. Thanks for sending questions in, engaging. Please hit that like button on the way out if you have not already. It really does go a long way. It's not just for vanity. It's not just because we want you to like the show. We do, but it helps to push back, helps it get shared after the live episode is done. So please do that. Again, we appreciate you. We love you. We'll see you tomorrow, same time, 3 p.m. Eastern. Be safe, be smart, be free.